Perichavches Pasuk Lamed Gimel. Okay, Perichavches Pasuk Lamed Gimel. We are winding down our description of Tsar. I shouldn't say that because we're going to have another whole parak about Tsar. Okay, but that parak is going to be directed to the leaders of Tsar. But right now, let's finish up describing the end of the Nevuah of Yechezkel regarding Tsar. It's Perek Chof Zayin, Pasik, I'm sorry, Perek Chof Zayin, Pasik Lamid Gimel, as in Lag Ba'omer. Okay, so the Pasik says, B'tseis izvonayich miyamim, when your merchandise, when it departs, miyamim here, even though there's a mem, mi means from, it means in this context of all the commentators, it means as it goes forth to travel the seas of the world in order to deliver the merchandise to other nations, his ba'at amim rabim, through the traveling through the seas, your merchandise has achieved the effect of granting satisfaction, granting satiation to many nations. Biroiv hoinayich, due to the abundance of your wealth, uma'arovayich, that's another word for your merchandise. Okay, there are two words here in this pasuk for merchandise, the izvonayich and the ma'arovayich. We learned in the Malam that the word izvonayich means the merchandise that is in the warehouses, and the ma'arovayich means the money that's in circulation in the market itself, the liquid assets that are circulating among the merchants to purchase the items in the warehouses. Through all of this, this very healthy economy. Okay, this is what the world, every country, this is the wish of every country to have such a healthy, vibrant economy. Heshart malchei oretz, you have succeeded making wealthy the kings of the earth. Because you were a source of commerce that was profitable, everyone was able to become very, very wealthy. You know, you select things like Amazon has made many, many people millionaires. Okay, I know actually a few people that actually that's the parnasa. They work the whole day in selling stuff and the imports, all different types of businesses. People go to China and they actually develop products and they bring them to America. And where do they store it? They don't have any warehouses. Everything is sent straight to the Amazon fulfillment center. And their whole business is online. They promote their products. And I know one guy, he does very well. He works very hard. He puts in 16-hour days. His wife's always complaining that he has no time to talk to her. But he does very well. A lot of people. So this is describing the healthy economy, the izvonayich, the warehouses, the money that is circulated. This nation, Tsar, was essential to the world economy. It was a global economy, and Tsar had a major part. Pasuk Lamed Gimel Mitzudos David. It says, "Atim Farish Devodav Loimar." Now we're explaining in more detail. Hinei Oide 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 Oideich B'Shalvoseich. It says, "Sichoy Voseich Min Hayamim Sheyashavt Bohem." We're going back to the good old days. Let's reflect. Let's reflect upon the good old days when Tsar was a center of commerce for the world, and you were in the state of tranquility when you observed all of your merchandise set out on all those fancy FedEx planes and drones. Right now they deliver with drones and planes and trucks, and everyone was leaving, departing to deliver the merchandise. Hisba'at amim rabim bimarbis hasecharos. You made many nations satisfied with all of your wonderful products. Hispat, right? You provided fulfillment. Excellent. Very good. Very, very interesting. See, everything is rooted. All the roots of this world are all rooted in all the things in Tanakh. Broiv, imroiv ashrech v'sochartech eshart malchei oretz. Right, isn't Amazon they're worth two Walmarts? That's what they say, right? Their net worth is worth twice. That's an amazing thing. Broiv, imroiv ashrech v'sochartech eshart malchei oretz. You have succeeded in making wealthy malchei oretz, the kings of the earth. Let's see, Rashi pasuk lamed gimel says, but says izvonayich kol ze yikoyinu alach b'kinasam. Everything we're reading now is part of the kina. It's part of the lament. Yechezkel is building them up, is describing the glorious good old days. The greater you build them, the more painful it is to then focus on the fact that they have fallen and have disappeared. Radak pasuk lamed gimel When your merchandise departed along the sea routes, you have given them satisfaction with your merchandise. Since you were essentially located in the seas, everyone had easy access to you, to your ports, you provided them with great satisfaction. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Lamedal, Ace Nishberes. Now we describe their incredible fall. Ace at the time, Nishberes, when you were broken, Miyamim from the seas, Bimaamake Moyim, by the seas, you were flooded by the seas from the great depths of water. Then what happened? Ma'aravech, all of your merchandise, V'chol Keholech, and all of your people, your assembly, B'seichech, that was within you, Nafalu, collapsed. And we learned, we've discussed many times, there are many different stages of their destruction, and we're going to see soon in the next parak how we're going to, it's going to be very interesting to see, it's a very fascinating, Abarbanel, which all of the commentators are obsessed with, either to agree with the Abarbanel or to disagree with the Abarbanel. But basic idea over here is that everyone has their own spin on how many different stages was Tsar destroyed. It was certainly destroyed at least once. Question was, maybe it was destroyed even three times. It was destroyed at the time of Nebuchadnezzar, and it was destroyed, there was a natural disaster which happened afterwards, and it was destroyed again by Alexander the Great. Alexander Mokdom. Alexander, so he also that was the beginning of Yavon, and then there was another destruction in the middle, which is what we mentioned in the beginning of by Parasumodai. So were there three stages, really four? Because there is a reference to the Chorban at the time of the Nebuchadnezzar, and there is a reference to its destruction at the time of Parasumodai, that's Persia. And then there's another reference to the destruction of Tsar in the time of Yavon, Alexander the Great. And then there's a reference here that there was a natural destruction, a tsunami which completely wiped them off the face of the earth. So if you really take everything together from all the commentators, you have four different destructions. You can't deny the fact that you read through all the Mepharshim here on the page, and everyone through the entire parak, and everyone is referencing, so some say it's only twice. One was by Nebuchadnezzar, then it was a natural destruction. Some say there was no mention of the natural destruction. They make mention of the Chorban of Nebuchadnezzar and the second more thorough Chorban at the time of Paras, the Persians. They destroyed it. And now over here, I found over here yesterday another mention of destruction at the time of Alexander the Great during the Persians. And you can't forget what we learned over and over from the Radak, that there was this, and the Malbim, that there was a natural destruction by Hashem after the destruction. So Sach HaKol, Tsar went through obviously quite a bit. It must certainly be that Elu the Elu Divrei Elokim Chayim. There must be at least a kernel of truth in each one of these commentators. And when you take this Cholim together, you have four different dimensions to their destruction. So here,
if that's true, this Nebuah is like a very long term.
Very long. There's nothing like this. Nothing, not even Edom. Even all the things that we have about Edom in Sefer Yeshaya.
And that doesn't necessarily go with...
Nothing comes to this. This is like the ultimate. The Tsar has received the most attention by the Nevi'im than any other nation. Pasuk Lamed Aleph,
the Metzudos. Does anybody say that Tsar was Atlantis?
Atlantis? I don't know. Maybe they do it. It could be they do it. I just missed. I'm not so good with all of the references.
There are those who say that the legend of Atlantis derived from this.
It's derived from this, but it's not the same thing. Who knows? Okay, let's see. Pasuk Lamdal in the Metzudos David. The Metzudos here says, "Eis nishperes yata eishihi nishperes." At the time when it's destroyed, Misibas Hamayim Bo'imek Hayam Hine. So here the Mitzudos is Lashita Sai that says that when it's going to be destroyed by the waters, the natural flood, the natural destruction, Misibas Hamayim Bo'imek Hayam Hine Sichorosech V'chol Keolech Ish Lo Nedar Kulam Nafalu B'Seichech. All of your merchandise, all of your merchants, the entire assembly, all of the inhabitants have been cast, have sunk, have been put to death by being falling in this natural disaster. Let's see Rashi Pasuk Lamed Hey. There is no Rashi. There's no Rashi. Radak. Radak Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Ace Nishperes Miyamim. Ace Shetim Nishperes Miyamim. Kol Sichur Asich V'Chol Kolech Naflu B'Sichur. Klamer Imach Amar. Imach with you. Amar Miyamim Hoya Kol Ashreich. I'm sorry. What do you have? I have the word Miyamim. All right, it's all the same. Mimeh. Hoya kol oshrech v'hoinech v'yamim shatfu hakol. All of your wealth came, was imported by the seas, and now the sea took it back. Some type of poetic justice, according to Radak. The sea is what was the means to make you wealthy, and being that you did not behave, you became arrogant. So the sea is what took away your wealth. Easy come, easy go. The sea was acting as Hashem's shliach, both to be good to you and to punish you. Let's see the next pasuk lamid. Hey, call yoshvei hoiim shamu aleich. All of the islands, they were in shock, bewilderment when they got the report what happened to you. Umalchehem soaru saar. Now this should really be interpreted with as this. There's a samach. Okay, if there will be a samach, it means a storm. A sahar with a samach means a storm. The word saru doesn't have any meaning. There is no such word. Sahar, se'or, is here. Shahar with a shin is a gate. So this combination with a sin and the way it is vowelized doesn't have any precedent, which forces all the commentators to say that make believe that instead of the sin there is a samach, and then it makes perfectly logical sense. It means they stormed. It means they were in a state of insanity. They lost their minds. They were screaming. They were angry. They lost their wealth. You were necessary to maintain the world economy, and when you collapsed, the whole world economy collapsed with you. So saru sar, they raged. They roared. Ramu ponim. Ramu is another expression which means anger.
Yeah.
Okay, anger. If you look in the Mitzvot, see it says Saru Sar Miloshon Seora B'Samach and Ram Inyan Zan Anger V'Chas. So this was a full expression, the fullness of expression, expressing the frustration, the anger, and the sadness of losing their partner in the economy, the global economy. Pasuk Lamed Hey, the Mitzvot David. Shomu Alayich Yismuhu Alma Polasech. They were astonished at your downfall. Soaru sar yechazem chil vodeses. They were overcome with terror. Kimeruach sorrow, like a tornado. A tornado, a storm. Ki yifchadup, they were. So here the Mitzudo says it wasn't so much because they, like I told you, because they lost their economy. They were afraid that they're next in the crossfire of Nebuchadnezzar, whoever was destroying them, ki yifchadu pen yikre lochem kim bigreich, v'yihiyu zu'umei ponim k'der hametzah shekles b'yatzmo, and they were very angry, like as the nature of a person who is upset, who's angry at himself, he goes about screaming and ranting like a child in this matzav. Let's see what it says in Rashi Pasuk Lamed Hey. It says, Ra'amu ponim zu'umei ponim. They were angry. V'chein ba'avur hari'ima, which means also anger. V'chein kol tulunot tur amta. It means a complaint. They different expressions of complaining amongst themselves. Pasuk Lamed Hey in the Mitzudo, in the Radak. Kol yoshe ha'im lefi shahayi ha'isa yeshevus ir. It's an island. Omar kol yoshe yeshar ha'im shamu. Tsar was the ultimate island. All of its neighbors were also islands. Malchayhem saru sar sheivchadu al atzmam. They were afraid for them. Such lo yikrem kumikra inyan saar yadua v'shavah hu b'samach v'shin. It's just like the word with the samach. Ra'am uponim inyan zam b'kas. It's anger like we learned b'chim ba'avur harimah. Exactly what we said in the Mitzvot. Pasuk last pasuk. Pasuk amivav sacharim bo'amim. The merchants among the nations. Sharku olayich bilahos hayis. Sharku olayich. They gnashed. Is that how you pronounce it? They gnashed. They have that in the kinois. They gnashed their teeth. They put their teeth together. They mocked you. Bilahos hayis. You were a source of terror. The enech and you don't exist any longer. Ad Olam, these are very scary words, that you will cease to exist forever. Unlike other nations, which we learned that Hashem will restore them. We had back in the previous parakim regarding nations, even the nation, even Sodom, it said, that Sodom will be restored at the time of Mashiach. Isn't that shocking? And certainly other nations, doesn't say that the other nations will be destroyed. Many of the nations will exist at the time of Mashiach, and they will come and they will learn from Klal Yisrael how to serve Hashem. But only a very select few get this curse that at the time when they are destroyed, they will never return ad olam. Pasuk Lamed Vav Mitzvot David. Lamed Vav Mitzvot David says, Soicharim bo'amim ha-soicharim shebein hu... What? No, first we do Mitzvot. We will do Mitzvot first. Pasuk Lamed Vav. Soicharim bo'amim ha-soicharim shebein ha-umos hishmiu laich kol srika. Hishmiu means they will cause it to be heard. They will be the ones doing the talking. And what's the talking? A hissing sound. They will hiss. They will gnash their teeth. Kol srika hanase b'kibbutz hasifosayim.
Isn't that whistling?
What? A whistling? Okay, whistling. A shrika. A whistling. A whistling. A whistling or a hissing. Hanase b'kibbutz hasifosayim. V'yaderech la'asayisab kishiroyim. Ba'ovdem davar choshev. When you see something choshev destroyed, that's what you do. You whistle, you hiss, you make these expressions of shock. Bilahos hayis. The word bilahos tia mole mi behala. Behala. The letters are interchanged. Really, if you would say behala means terror, but the hay comes before the lamet. In this instance, the lamet comes before the hay. This is a word in milas hafuch, which I very often. Sometimes the letters are interchanged. Veinech lo tia od al olam lachazol lekad musech. You will cease to exist forever. Okay, let's see Rashi, Pasuk Lamed Vav, the last Rashi in this perek. Sharku, okay, that is a French word. What does it mean, Michal?
Siblay, to whistle. Now, siblay, very similar to sibilant, which is an S sound.
Okay, so this is some type of whistling. Kamos, sharkin, aldava, shecholaf, holachlo. You whistle regarding something which is no longer your sadness, that you have lost out on something very magnificent, very important, very chashuv. It's no longer, it's very, very painful. Radak Pasik Lamed Vav, Soicharim Muvuhu, it's self-understood. Okay, so that concludes this perek. Pretty much, you know, a lot of the ideas, there's a lot of repetition. Obviously, there's a lot going on. Maybe the various psukim, they refer to, as we mentioned before, four different stages. There are four different stages of its destruction, and could possibly be that each of these psukim, somehow, they tie into the four different tekufos that we find in the Mefarshim of the Churban of Tsar, again, Tam Nebuchadnezzar, the time of Paras Umodai, the time of Alexander Mokdon, and the time when it will be destroyed by Hashem himself through a natural disaster. Now, Pas Perach of Ches continues, but here we have something very interesting, where it's Vahid Hashem Elai Lemar, and this Pasuk Beis opens up a very big topic of discussion. Ben Adam, Hashem says to Yecheskel, Emor, I want you to speak L'Negid Tzar, to the Negid. What does a Negid mean? Negid literally means a prince. Now, look at the Mitzudos Tzion. What does he say? He doesn't say anything. Okay, but if we remember back in the previous perek, Yechezkel was instructed to speak to the Melech of Tsar. So the question is, what's going on over here? Is Tsar have a Melech, or does Tsar have a Nogid? Okay, let's see. Where was it back? Where was the pasuk of the Melech? Let me try to find it. Back to Chavav. Maybe we'll come across the Mefarshim. Let's see. Okay, let's see the Malum then. Okay, you don't have in your edition.
This Biramilos
makes a differentiation. Okay, let's look at the Biramilos in the Malbim. L'negid tzar. So he writes, Yesh hevdel bein nogid ubein melech. Shanagid koilel kol hamamune lahanik kumo negid beis elokim. Anyone that isn't in charge, nogid al alho itzarois, the koril dove b'shem nogid, ve'od lo huftach lo hamalchus birusha. He was called a nogid before he was guaranteed to be a melech. V'chein karo l'shol uli ravam nogid mitam zeh. But with zimavush nogid v'tzar einay melech shemuskar v'pasik yud beis. That's forward. Okay, pasik yud beis, we're going to see v'ahid v'ashem elay leimar ben adam in this very parak sakina al melech tzar. Okay, so every one of you is getting very, very, very on edge. What is going on here? Why is there here a message to the Negid? And why later is there a message to the Melech? So the Malbim starts up by saying, let's read the Malbim. He quotes the Abarbanel. Everyone quotes the Abarbanel. Emar the Negid Tsar. Kivar heyer harav Yitzchak Abarbanel. Shenegid Tsar. Einoy Melech Tsar Sheyaskir Achazeb. Daita Shanogid Hu Pokid Alanyone Hamedino. He's an officer. He's a czar. He is a someone that does the nitty gritty.
So
administrator. Umelech u'igin acher. V'dayti bozet hishama achar zeh. I'll let you know my opinion about this later on. He seems to disagree. Okay, but basic point is, let me just try to give you a collection of ideas of what's going on here. You don't have in your edition this thing called the Mincha Gedoyla. The Mincha Gedoyla is a beautiful parish, and he quotes the Barbanel, and he analyzed the Barbanel, and then he goes on to give his own opinion. And basically what he says is, among the various approaches is, like we mentioned before, there were many different stages of destruction that came upon the nation of Tsar. We just conclude, if you want to go put together all the different opinions, there were four different stages of Chorban. Nebuchadnezzar, time of Paras HaMadai, time of Alexander Mogdon, and at the time when Hashem destroyed Tsar also through a natural disaster. So he wants to say, the Mincha Gedoyla is that originally Tsar had a Nogit. In other words, he actually calls it, he says, just like in Rome, it was a republic. It was the first democracy. We think that Rome was the first democracy. It's not true. According to the Mincha Gedoyla, the first republic was Tsar. They did not want any one person to have too much power. It's not a good thing. So there's abuse with absolute power. There's
corrupts
absolutely. There's corruption. So they were very clever. They had a democracy. The problem is you have a democracy and there's a war. There's a war. The enemy is approaching. Well, we have to first go to Congress and ask them, are they really enemies? And then after we figure out if they're really called an enemy, then we have to decide, well, should we go to war? But, you know, to go to war, we have to first build the weapons. And we need the Congress and the Senate to approve a spending bill to build the weapons. Who's going to build the weapons? Who are we going to give the contracts to? And when everyone has their hand in the pie, nothing gets done. Like we see today, unfortunately, we all know that to be so true. In the modern day democracy, nothing happens very quickly. And when there's a war, you don't have time to patchka around. So because they had a nogid, equals here a republic, they had this democracy. When Nebuchadnezzar came, Tsar theoretically had the resources, had the ability to conquer Nebuchadnezzar. But because there was a lot of red tape, the government was established in such a way, that is why they were unable to respond in a timely way and fight with the enemy. So after the defeat of Tsar, and they rebuilt Tsar, they decided, you know what, we have a melech. This type of malchus is no good. We need a melech. We need a person who has full authority, can make a decision on the spot without getting permission from anyone else. What?
Centralized
authority. So that's how he explains fascinating. That's why the first message was to the Negit. Because this was during the time of Nebuchadnezzar. Pasuk Yud Aleph is describing the Chorban that's going to happen at the time of either Paras HaMadai or, according to others, the time of Alexander the Great. At a later point in time, and by that time they wisened up and they realized democracy has its short.
They had had a melech earlier.
No,
Hiram was
that you want to say there's a third. That was the original. Who says Hiram was a maybe? Who says Hiram was a melech? Maybe Hiram was only in the gid.
The text
says Hiram
melech
tzar. Where is it? Hiram
melech
tzar. Where? Shlomo. And it says what melech?
Yes.
It says what melech?
Yes.
Okay, so maybe then he explains all this. Maybe there were different stages.
There was
first a melech, and then after, you have to say that he lived 400 years. That he actually discussed that also as well. The Barbanel and the Mincha Gedoyla also discussed that. Who was the king? Tsar a term that you give to every single king? Just like Paro is a term you give to every single leader of Egypt. Avimelech is the title you give to every leader of the Plishtim. So Tsar,
every king was Paroi this, Paroi that.
So Chirom was the name they gave to every Melech. Every Melech of Tsar was called Chirom. Like you give Paro, there's a Paro, there's an Avimelech. There are many Avimelechs. The leader of the Plishtim was called Avimelech. The leader of Egypt was called Paro. The leader of Tsar was called Chirom. How many Chirims? Multiple. You can't say the same Chirim that was living at the time of David is the same Chirom that's living at the time 420 years later when Nebuchadnezzar is coming. It's a different Chirom. Or maybe you want to say not so. Some want to say no. He lived 500 years, and there are some midrashim that he knew some things that we do not know. He knew how to preserve. He knew how to preserve his existence in some magical way, and he lived a very, very long time. But this is very. So this is. I find this to be fascinating. Is that this concept of democracy versus having a central authority as a melech? It's something which predates Rome. It's something Rome is relatively modern. To compare to, Rome came on the scene almost 1,000 years after Tsar existed. And yet over here, the Mincha Gedol is telling you that's exactly the Pshat and the Pasuk. There's a Negid and there's a Melech. And the reason why there was a shift in chain was because originally it was not centralized with Malchus. It was a democracy similar to the system of Rome. And that did not work out well when it comes to times of war when you need to make quick decisions, and asking permission and getting authority just doesn't work well. And then that's why they changed. They saw it was a better system to come onto a system of Malchus. But you're saying correctly, before this, originally, there was also a Melech. So maybe they switched. They switched a Melech to a Negid, back to a Melech. They're always experimenting with different forms of authority. So let's see. So here it says, Vayid Vashem Olimar, Ben Adam Emol Negid Tzar, Koyama Hashem, Elokim, Yam, because Gova Livicho, due to your arrogance, Vatayman, you have said about yourself, El Oni, I am a God. Melech Tsar, the Gid Tsar, he's a God. Moshav Elokim Yoshavti, I have, I dwelt like a God alone, Belev Yam, in the heart of the sea. Hashem says to him, you are nothing. V'ata Adam, you're a man, you're a human being, you come from the earth. V'lo El, you're not a God. V'atit in Libcha, it's only you made yourself think, Kalev Elohim, you make yourself think that you will have the heart of a God. Another interpretation of the explains is, a lot of the Mepharshim say this, is that it was the Melech who was in charge of the country, but the Melech did not have any experience with the economy. So he appointed Secretary of the Treasury. That's the economy. Finance, the economy. There were people who were in charge, they were in charge of the economy. And the Negid was very, very successful. That's what Netanyahu did before he became prime minister the second time. He was the minister, the finance minister. So basically, the Negid, according to some of the commentaries, he was the finance minister, and he was extremely successful in this. And he felt that the economy, the success of the economy, was all due to his supernatural skills, and therefore he called himself a god. Now, this, at the same time that he was the minister of finance, there was a king. But the one that was more arrogant than the king was actually the finance minister. He called himself a god. And according to the Mepharshim, Hashem says it's no big kunst. To be successful in business, it's not totally in your chochmah, it's mazel. It's mazel. B'ni chaye mezoine b'mazla tal yimilsa. Don't get carried away just because you're so successful in business. Don't think it's because of your great chochmah, your great skill. It's a gift. Hashem brought about your success. Nothing more than that. There's nothing to be arrogant about. There's a lot of musr here in this pasuk. Okay, there's another very powerful. Maybe I'll read at the very end. We'll see when I read this. Is that when it says that he's the Moishav Elokim Yoshafta Chirom? All the Mepharshim quote this medrash. Again, we'll maybe read at the end. Is where he built for himself some type of supernatural island in the middle of the Mediterranean, which had seven levels, and he sat on the top of the seventh level. He compared himself to Hashem. Hashem, we know, lives. There are seven heavens, and Hashem is on the eighth. So Chirom replicated HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world by also creating seven layers of worlds, and he dwelt on the eighth. So he compared himself to a god. Yechezkel came along, and there's a story in the Medrash, came along and came to visit him and destroyed his whole world and killed him. Okay, but let me, before we get here, let's see what it says here in the Farsha. Pasuk Beis in the Mitzudos, David. L'negit Tsar, al Moishel Tsar. He learns very simply the ruler of Tsar. Go say to him as follows, Yan gova libcha v'atomer el oni, Moishav Elohim Yoshafti. Being that you, this thing you said that you were God, Chachamim Zal. I'm sorry, I'm reading the Roman Farsh. I'm sorry, one second. Keloni, Ritzon Elaymar, Bal Yecholes Rav Ko'el. I am very successful. Moishav Elohim Yoshafti. Ritzon Elaymar, Lefi Sheyesh Li Mokoi Moishav, Nidol Umeshuma Me'an Hashem. So he learns very simply, I have a place of isolation. Camp David. No one can come there. It's protected by the Marines. The Marines protect Camp David. You go the whole area. No one, no human being can come in this vicinity. Hashem is in Shemayim, and no one can come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kein ani kamohu yoshafti b'lev yam. I dwell in the heart of the sea. V'ein miyuchal lovo elai. No one is able to come to me. V'ata, Hashem responds. Aval ata odom. You're just a human being. V'ein l'cho yecholitz kamo l'cho. You have no power like Hashem. V'eich nosat l'pcho l'hashvoisa. How dare you think to compare yourself to Hashem, Kalev Elokim, Uchoimer, Mori Iso, Lishtuzeh? How foolish could you possibly be? Rashi, Pasig Beis, Moshav Elokim. Also, Loi Ba'avir, Rashi over here was quoting the Medrash. Also, Loi Ba'avir Al Hayom Biman Go Nun. That's a very funny word. It means magic, right? Is that what it's in the English translation? He made for himself in the air through the power of magic. Is magic?
No, it says some kind of mechanism.
Mechanism, science, some type of science,
kind of technology.
Technology. He made for himself there in the yam.
The throne of Shlomo.
Yeah.
Had this kind of
supernatural
technology.
Biman Gonon, through some type of technology, built for himself in the middle of the air. Kimin Shiva Rikim, seven heavens. The Yashav Loy Al Elyon, and he dwelt on the seventh, just like Hashem lives in the eighth heaven. We say Hashem Echod. There's a big ches, and Chazal said that when you think Echod, you're supposed to think the Kadosh Baruch Hu is on the eighth heaven. I think Rav Moshe says there's no makar to do that. You shouldn't do that, right? Is that Rav Moshe says? It's a Mishnah Brura. I think it's a Mishnah Brura. You're supposed to think there's a big Dalit. And not a big ches. You suppose the Da'al Hashem is in all four corners of the world, and the ches means the chatoitoit. The fact that the ches in the Sefer Torah has two zions with a point pointing up, that there are eight heavens, and there are seven heavens, and Hashem is on the eighth. Hashem is all the way in the all the way above. So he did exactly the same thing. He competed with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Radak, Pasuk Beis, says, Hashem ben Adam until now, all these problems we had until now about the sea, now we're talking about the king himself. We're directing attention to him. Kel oni, el oni. Kalaimar, kamo, kel el oni, I'm a god. Shlo yuchal Adam lazikeni ulaharali. No one is able to cause me harm. Moishav Elohim Yoshafti, belev yamim, kiani Yoshafti, belokim chazok. Kiani belev yamim. Shehayamim akif mo, you see the waters surround me. Mi yuchal logas bi, who can come near me? Kamo Elokim Shiyesha Bashamayim. Hashem sits in heaven. Vichol sochadei ha'amim oivrim oisi. All of the merchants of the sea, they serve me. Umeivim li mincha, and they bring me gifts. So he, the Radak, learns the Pasuk, simple, no medrash, is that location. I dwell in an island. My nation is in an island. And I'm not subject to all of the problems that all other nations have, and I'm able to import. All the nations need to come on to me. I am the center of international commerce.
I mean, this island is obviously different than the other island nations, right?
It's the center. So it's
just because it's an island in itself.
Yeah.
Doesn't make it.
But in this instance, he was very successful. Right, correct. The Yonatan Torah game, the Chala Ano Mosav. Takifin yisavis begoyim mama. Okay, I'm fearsome. I dwell in a state of might, in the middle of the sea. Okay, whatever that means, similar to what we said before. Okay, next, let's go to there is one medrash. Okay, one this is not the main medrash I want to bring out later on, but there's one important medrash. The medrash over here says that the Chazal, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu expresses his love for Klal Yisrael, Hashem compares us to Tsar. What's the medrash? Dorash Rabbi Elazar Beno Shel Rabbi Yossi Hagalili Lo Meirubchem Mikol Ha'am Chashak Hashem Bochem. We have this pasuk in Dvarim. Hashem says, the reason why I love you is not because Meirubchem, because you are the most abundant, you are the most mighty, you are the most numerous amongst the nations. Just the opposite. Ki Atem Hama'at Mikol Ha'amim. You are from the smallest. Now what exactly does that mean? So Omar Lohem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Li Yisrael, Cheshkani Bochem, I love you. I have a desire for you. Why? Sha'afil B'shoshani Mashpia Lohem Gedula, when I bestow upon you greatness, how do you react? Mima'atin Atzmechem Lefonai, you humble yourself. What's the proof? Nasati Gedula Li Avraham, when I bestowed greatness upon Avraham by blessing him and telling him he's going to have children, have Eretz Yisrael, Omar Lefonai, what were the first words of reaction of Avraham Avinu? The Anochi Afar Vo'efer. And that Mida goes down in the genes of Klal Yisrael, that whenever HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestows greatness upon a member of Klal Yisrael, the natural reaction is to express humility. And therefore, you have to be very careful. I mean, that's what you're supposed to do. If a person is given a gift, a gedula, some type of gedula, it's in your genes to respond, I don't deserve this. V'yonochi ofar vo'efer. In contrast, here's what we need why we're learning this now. In contrast, avol oivdei koychavim, the Medrash says, Einon Kain, for example, Nosati Gedula L'Chiram, Melech Tsar, I gave greatness to Chiram, the king of Tsar. You said the word Melech Tsar, it says in Melech Tsar. I gave him incredible success, the center of the world. He was the source of all material goods in this world. And how does he respond? His response is, oh, I'm a god. Moishav, Omar, he said, Moishav Elokim Yoshafti Velev Yamin. Look at that, I'm a god, I'm sitting over here in the center of the world. That's my response. It's a very, very powerful statement. It's always very interesting when you go to watch, like to listen to the inaugural speeches of world leaders. Okay, when Obama became president, when Trump became president, when Clinton, go back and listen, this is the moment of Gedula. The moment, you know, the leader of the free world, the most powerful man, this is the moment. What do you say? How do you accept upon yourself the gedula that you've been selected by the people to lead? So there's a lot to be said. The need of the Jewish way is to respond with humility, and not to respond with gaiva. To compare Avraham, here this Medrash compares the response of Avraham versus the response of Chiram Melech Tsar. Okay, let's see next pasuk. Interesting pasuk. Hinei Chochamata Midoniel. Are you? Now notice over here the Yud is missing. The proper way to pronounce Doniel, maybe this is why we all do that. How do you say? You say Doniel, right? Everyone says, puts the emphasis on the Nun. Isn't that the common way to refer to a person today? Doniel, right? So, L'chor, that's wrong. Nothing's wrong. Nothing is wrong. Because in Sefer Doniel, there's a Yud, and it's always the emphasis, the trop, is always on the Yud. So, therefore, the correct pronunciation is Doniel. Doniel, the emphasis is on the Yud. Okay, most of us don't do it like that. We prefer Doniel. But over here, this is the reason why it's like that. Maybe this is why we don't do it. Here, there's a kriyah sif. And this pasuk, the Yud is mysteriously missing. And therefore, the only you'll be able to pronounce is Doniel, without the Yud. And there's a kriyah sif, though, that you're supposed to actually insert the Yud to pronounce his name correctly, Doniel. Yell. Okay. He compares the first one compared to Yaakov Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is spelled without the Yud throughout the entire Tanakh, only we have one. There are 667 times the word Yerushalayim appears in Tanakh, and only five of them, about five of them, does it say Yerushalayim with the Yud. I think most of them, if not all of them, are in Megillas Esther. And there it's Yerushalayim. But there it's not in the Yud, Yerushalayim. You don't get Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim. It's the Lamed anyway. So the Yud is silent. So there it's not a real comparison. You don't emphasize the Yud.
The name Azriel.
Mm-hmm. There is Azriel. Mm-hmm. Azriel. Yeah. I'm not sure. I don't know. But Yerushalayim anyway doesn't make a difference, because there is the Lamed, not the Yud. Over here, it doesn't make a difference, because over here the proper pronunciation is the Yud. Daniel. And here we have missing a Yud, so maybe this is one of the reasons why we focus on people, calling people Daniel, and we ignore the Yud. Someone is in the shop, someone they have a friend, he named his baby Basia. So someone there was a rabbi there, he asked him, how come everyone calls people who have that name, it's a popular name, Basia? In the Tanakh, there is no Basia, there's Bisya. The only place her name appears, the Paro's daughter who raised Moshe Rabbeinu, is mentioned once in Divrei Hayamim, and there it's spelled Bisya. So why does the world call someone by this name Basya? So the Rav said it must be that we focus on the Medrash, and the Medrash is what's called Bisya. Bisya means the Baska, the daughter of Hashem, that she converted. She through taking Moshe Rabbeinu and raising Moshe Rabbeinu, this had an effect on her. She became Jewish, so she's a daughter. So we focus on the Chazal, the Medrash interpretation of the name, more than the actual name that's presented in the Pasuk. So that's a very interesting idea. It's all in a name. But the name, you know, the name is the Makar. And yet we don't even focus on the name, we focus on Chazal's interpretation of the name, Baska. All right, interesting. I told about. You know the Vard, this parsha, Shlach. Moshe called Yehoshua bin Nun, Yehoshua. So why is it bin? You told me this. The reason I told me this. Why is it called bin Nun? It's ben Nun. So the parsha means is because since Hashem had to add the letter Yud was appended from Hoshea to Yehoshua. So the Yud needs the Kudos. It's not just the Yud. So what? It means the Shva.
Everything has to be accounted for, not just the letters, but the vowels.
So where do you get the two? Where the vowels come from? It was borrowed from the Ben. The Ben has three. That's like quite a supply. So two of the three dots were taken from the Ben, given to the Yud. So the Yud now is a Yehoshua. And now Ben only has one dot left. So it's Bin. Is this the Emes of Shatz? I really don't know. I don't know if this is just a nice, cute little thing, or there's depth in this. Who knows what this is? The Alpi Kabbal, they say that dots, there is something to look at. The proof is that articles spend a hoin raf, an enormous amount of money, changing the dots in their sidurim. The old sidurim, look at the old articles sidurim. They create their own font. And their own nekudos that go along. They were all square. If you have an old art scroll siddur, you'll notice all of the dots are squares. It's modern. It's a new style. And people complained. Bizarre is that Al-Pi Kabbalah. I never heard such a crazy. I mean, to me, it's totally bizarre that Al-Pi Kabbalah, a nekuda is round. It's a drop of ink which is round. And this is tradition. An art scroll, that's, they're into tradition, the fire of publishing. How do you, so I think they just brush, come on, man. What are you hacking over here? So they went to Rav Pam. Someone actually went to Rav Pam and complained to Rav Pam, and Rav Pam said, you're right. And then somehow in some type of meeting, some type of conversation, Rabbi Zlotowitz and Rav Pam said that this guy is right. Dots should be round, not square. And because of that conversation, Art Scroll changed all of the, they changed their classic trademark font from squares to dots. Go look in the new Art Scroll Siddur, all the dots and the new ones are all round. So listen, so you don't know. We don't know what all these things are. I mean, to me, this thing is very bizarre, but obviously there is something to it. Okay, I don't know over here, to want to point over here that we have the word Doniel, it's Chaser Yud, and it's a Krivel Siv. We add in here, it is significant when you add another letter because the pronunciation indeed is on the Yud, as it is done in Sefer Daniel. It's always on the Yud. And here Hashem says to the Tzar, Tzar, are you wiser than Daniel? Kol Sosom Loy Amamucha. Every concealed thing, is it true that every hidden thing, do you really think is not hidden from you? Now the word amamucha is a very hard word. There are many translations, but it means, is it not dulled? Are all of the hidden things not dark? In other words, is every single hidden thing in the world revealed to you? Certainly not. It's a rhetorical statement. Yes. And therefore, now Daniel, why are we comparing him to Daniel? So the answer is that Daniel lived during this time. Now, really? What time are we referring to? Are we referring over here to the time of Nebuchadnezzar? So in the time of Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel really appeared a little later. That's not so. He was taken down 11 years. He was taken with the first Golus before Yechaniah, how could I forget this? The king, I'm losing my mind. After Yoshiyahu was the first king. The first king after Yoshiyahu died, who became king? First was Yehoshadak, and then came was for 11 years. For 11 years before Yechaniah was Yehoyakim. When Yehoyakim became king, Nebuchadnezzar exiled a very large group of people to Babel. In that first wave of exile was Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, and the whole long list. No, that was 11 years later. That was the second exile. That was the time of Yehoyakim. There were three, it's critical to know, there were three different waves of exile that took place through Nebuchadnezzar. The first was 22 years before the Churban. After the death of Yoshiyahu, first it was Yehoshadak, he was the king for a very short period of time, and then Nebuchadnezzar appointed, Paro Necho appointed, or during that time, Yehoyakim. And during the time of Yehoyakim, in the middle of his malchus, at some point in time, when Nebuchadnezzar rose to power, he came to Eretz Yisrael, and he exiled a group of people, including Daniel and Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Then a couple of years later, with the death of Yehoyakim and the appointment of Yehoyachin, that's when he exiled the second group of people, the 10,000 people, the Choresh Shahamaskar. The third wave of exiles took place at the Churban Beis HaMikdash. So there are three different tekufos of Golus. The first was Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel. So I guess since this is the same tekufa. Now what happened with Daniel, all the Mefarshim say that he interpreted the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. When Nebuchadnezzar was amazed and wowed that Daniel was able to interpret his dream, and all of his best dream interpreters could not do so, he said to Daniel, "You're a god. You're a god, and we're now going to offer you sacrifices. We're going to bring meal offerings. We're going to pour wine before you. We're going to bring animals." Daniel says, "I'm not a god. Listen here. Don't get carried away over here. Just because I know how to interpret your dream doesn't mean I'm a god, and let's not get carried away." So this was famous. This was all over the world. Everyone knew about this. The humility of Daniel, and he was able to, that Nebuchadnezzar wanted to make him into a god, and he said he's not a god. So Hashem here is mocking Chiron and saying to him, "Are you wiser than Daniel? You're certainly not. And if Daniel was not makabel upon himself to be a god, how dare you, Chiron Melech Tzar, think that you're a god? Is it true that kol sasam loy amamucha, every hidden thing in this world, is it not dulled? It is not dull before you." Well, let's see Mefarshim. They translate this in more precisely. Pasuk Gimel in the Metzudos David. Hinei Chacham. He says to him, Techsar Hey. We're missing over here, Hinei. We're missing the Hey Hateima Uchoimer. Hechacham hinei hechacham ata midon niel. So there should be over here the hey hatmiya. Are you wiser than Daniel? That hey is missing, but that's not a problem. We always have missing letters. Ucha oimer hechacham ata midon niel. V'chi kol davar sasum v'nistar lo nichsa mimcha. Is it true that every secret is not concealed before you? Is that really true? Ke'ein ma shekasa b'Daniel. Because then why do we use the expression of concealment of secrets? Because that's exactly what Hashem said about Daniel. Kol roz lo ones lach. Nebuchadnezzar said to Daniel, you know the secrets. I had a dream. There was no one in my country who knew how to provide a proper interpretation other than you. And therefore, every secret is revealed to you. So Hashem over here is saying to Tzchira, are you like Daniel, that every secret is not concealed from you? You know all the secrets? Of course not. You don't know all the secrets. Okay, let's see Rashi. Rashi said, by the way, look at the word amamucha. Inyan ha-hester v'akis. The word omun means concealment. Kemo arazim loy amamuhu. The cedars do not conceal you. So are all secrets not hidden from you? Of course, they're not hidden from you. Are all secrets? Are they not hidden from you? Which means, it's a rhetorical statement. They're not hidden from you. You do not know. You are not on that level of wisdom to know all of the secrets. Therefore, certainly you have no right to make yourself into a god. Let's see Rashi Pasuk Gimel. Rashi says, "Hinei chacham ata midaniel." Daniel ba Nebuchadnezzar asayse elo ah. Nebuchadnezzar wanted to make Daniel into a god. The Sivah says in the pasuk, "Daniel sigad, he bowed down, umincha a meal offering, v'nichoychin. Nichoychin means other types of offerings. Omar lenasocha means, I think it means wine. Omar lenasocha le, the king said should be poured before Daniel. And ha v'loy kibul alav, Daniel refused to accept. V'ato oisa atzva eloha, and you have the arrogance, tzchiram, to make something to a god. Kol sasum loy amamucha. Loy omo mimcha. The word omo means keha. It means dulled. Metargmen amamaya.
He calls it taunting.
Calls what?
That Hashem is taunting.
Taunting him? Kinturin heim shemekant. Here, that's the next word of Rashi. Kinturin heim shemekantiro. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taunting him. Kolaymar. Shema chocho mato kidoniel. Shenemar bo kol roz leonis loch. All secrets are not hidden from you. Are you on that level of wisdom like Daniel? It's a rhetorical statement. Of course you're not. And therefore, how dare you go and make yourself into a god? Radak Pasuk Gimel says, Hinei chacham ata midaniel v'zocha Daniel lefi shonoidah chachmasa bebavel. He was well known. At this point in time in history, he was well known. He was in the news every day. Midaniel chaser yud. V'hi nikreis degusha b'tenuas hatzeri v'av api she'enena. Kimo yud Yerushalayim sh'nikreis b'tenuas achirik v'enena b'tzoicha. He points out that Yud is missing, but you have to add into the word to be Kriv Sif. Is it true that all secrets are not hidden from you? You know every single secret. Okay, the word yum over there, so it means dulled. Nistok Mzaro, its shine has been dulled. It's not covered from you. Ridiculous. You don't know all the secrets. And being that you do not know the secrets, therefore, how dare you go out there with such arrogance? Pasik Dalit. Pasik Dalit says, Bechachmascha uvisvu nasicha asisa lecha chayil vataza v'chesev v'oitzrei secha. So here he says, you assumed that the success of Tsar under your authority, under your ministry, is because of divine wisdom. It's nonsense. The reason why you're successful is because it's human intelligence. It's nothing more than the chokhmah and tvuna of man is what has brought success. It's not a divine wisdom. Therefore, you have no right to make yourself into a god. Your own chokhmah, your own tuna, asisa l'cha, chayil has brought you success. Fatas, you have produced Zav, Chesed, Yitzrasech in your storehouse. Another possible like, hey, Berev Chachmascha, Bir Chulascha, due to the abundance of your wisdom and your merchandise, here Bisa, Chelecha, you have increased your wealth, Vayigba, Levavcha, Bechelecha, and you become arrogant. Mitsudos Pasuk Dalin Hey, right? Where is it over here? Is it your chachma? So he's learning a little different. I told you. He's saying, in Hashem, is it because of your chachma? Not, I told you it's human wisdom. I'm sorry, that's not what the Mitzvah says. He says, it's a rhetorical question. Is it because of your chachma? It's a gift. It's all dependent upon mazel. Your success, your wealth is mazel. It's not due to your chachma. Everything is a gift. Why are you arrogant? Just because you're so successful and your country is so rich and you're the Minister of Finance does not mean it's all because of your great policies and your great chachma. It has nothing to do with you. It's all a gift min hashamayim that the country should be successful, the economy should be vibrant. Of course, you have to do your hashtadlus. You're not going to go take four. Your finance minister, an idiot, someone doesn't know the first thing. But when everything is said and done, it's so complex. The fact that a country succeeds is nothing more than the gift of Hashem. We all know that. We all know that to be 100% true. Nifra Kadosh Baruch Hu here is mocking Chiroim Melech Tzar. Rashi Pasuk Dalet Hey Asisa Luchachol Kinesa Loch Nichsin. You have acquired wealth. Pasuk Hey Pavatas Zav Chesef Uchinashta. You have gathered. Word Tazav means that you have accumulated this wealth. Radak. You're following the ways of Melech Ashur. He also was very wealthy. It's not due to his wealth. The Melech Ashur said, with my wisdom, I have acquired this wealth. I become wise. This here means gathering. You have collected. Means all this wealth. Beroy mivurhu. I once heard about a very one was in Radak Helcha Bechelecha and the Chasecha Oit Sivoecha Vechain Tigin Venison Mashri Yosach. It means all of your assets. I once heard about a wealthy very person. He says that he worked very, very hard. This is a big philanthropist. He worked very hard when he was young. And when he made it, then he made his first million. And he remembers that day when he became aware that he just knew that he has $1 million in the bank. And like he said, he really felt. I worked very, very hard. I worked very hard to make this money. I sleepless nights, working to reach this point. But then when I made my second million, third million, fourth million, and the money just kept on coming in and in and in and in, it was so clear to me, it's not my money. Just not my money. Hashem gave me this money to give away. This money is a gift. It was given to me, it was entrusted with me to be a custodian, to direct it to the people who need the money. He says, the first million, okay, little gaiva, I'm entitled to a little gaiva, koichim yoitzim yadi. But come a certain point, you realize, it's not my money. It's not money, I have to give it away. Let's go to the next. We have another minute. One more pasuk. L'chein gdif, a pasuk vav, l'chein gdif, in one midrashim. Let me maybe tell you now, before we wind down, let me tell you this medrash, very interesting medrash, about his seven heavens. Okay, there's a lot of interesting medrashim here. We'll just focus on one for now, to conclude with one interesting medrash about Melech Tzar. Okay, I'll read it to you inside, because it's so interesting. It's Parakhafes. Okay, here we go. Dover Acher. Chiram Melech Tzar Hoya Geo Miska Ad Me'od. Chiram was extremely arrogant. Ne'os, what did he do? Nichnas liyam yosaloi arboim amudim shel barzel meruboim aruchim shiurim shav. He made 40 columns. He first established a foundation in the sea that had 40 pillars. Then midam zekeneget zev yosa shiver rikim lechisin. Then he made upon these 40 pillars 7 heavens. The chisei, a throne. The chayos, creatures, angels, or amim. The zikim uverakim, he knew how to manipulate the weather. Clouds, thunder, lightning, and clouds. Harakia harishon also shel zechuchas. The first heaven was made from glass. It was tofkuf amma, 500 amas al tofkuf amma. We also bechamu lebanu kuchavim. This first key, he also invented his own artificial sun, moon, and stars. Harakia shel the second heaven also shel barzel was made from iron. It was elef amal elef amal. It was larger, not 500, but 1,000 amas by 1,000 amas. The siloin shalmayi mafrish bein rishon l'shini. And there was a canal of water that differentiated between the first and the second heaven. The third heaven, harakia shlishi shel barzel, was also iron. Elef, this was 1,500 amas by 1,500 amas. And also the siloin shalmayi mafrish bein sheni l'shlishi. Vavonim megulgolois also berukia shel barzel. There were these round stones in this third heaven. Shoyim misbakim elum elu v'nishmoim k'mor amim, that would bang against each other and make loud noises. Interesting, huh? Fourth heaven, harukia harvi was made from also shel oiferis lead. Shnei from this was 2,000 amas by each heaven gets bigger and bigger, 2,000 by 2,000, wider, 2,000 amas. V'silu shalmayim again, there was a channel of water. Mafresh ben shlishi l'rivi. Harakia chamish, the fifth heaven, shal nechoshes, copper. V'aso shnei, this was 2,000 by 500 by 2,500. Then there was also a channel of water differentiating. Harakia shishi was silver. Shloi shalaf from 3,000 by 3,000 amas. And there was a channel. Harakia shivi was gold. And it was 3,500 by 3,500. V'kovel avon, and this seventh heaven, it was precious stones. Avonim toivos margolius ama al ama v'hoi marek mikan nasa barokim. He made lightning on one side. Mikan nasa zikim, different types of sounds. Lightning v'hoi mizdaze atzmo. V'oisam ho'anov mizbakos elum elu v'nishmom haramim. There were sounds heard from this thing. Now here comes Sadif. These are the description of the seven heavens. Each one made from a different material, starting with glass and going up into different types of metals, barzel and oiferes, nechoshes, kesef, and finally zaf. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu liYechezkel, Ben Adam, Emar l'chil ha'melech tzar mo'atam miskoheh. What are you doing here? What's going on over here? You're making yourself seven heavens. You make believe you're a god. You have artificial sun and moon and all these things, and clouds and lightning and stones. Yeludishata, you're just a person. Omar Lafan of Ribbon Shalom. He ach ani holichetzel. Who told you about Avir? So Yechesel says, Hashem, how am I going to get there? I don't have a spaceship to get there. What do you want from me? You want me to go to Tsar and tell him to behave himself? I can't reach this place.
I can't get there.
So, but Oysa Shah, it says here, Hevia Kodesh Baruch Hu Ruach. B'tzitzis rosho, just like the Nevuah in the beginning of the Sefer, Hashem took Yechezkel from Bavel, Nahar Kivar, all the way to Eretz, by the tzitzis rosho, by his payas. So Hashem picked up Yechezkel by his payas. V'halo eitzel chiram, kevon shiruach chiram, l'Yechezkel nival v'nizdaza. All of a sudden, Chiram, he sees Yechezkel was there on the seventh heaven with him. So Chiram starts to shake. Amalai! How do you get here? How do you get over here? Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem took me. Kach tzivani, lechem alechem, tell Chiram, Mar, lo mata miskoi, yulurishat. Amar lo, yulurishani. Ela shani chai v'kayam l'yoyla. Maybe you're right, but I'm a God also. Mar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshavai b'lev yamim, afani Moshavai b'lev yamim, Mar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, b'shivu rikim, afani b'lo, ani kein. V'lo yorela, kama molochem meisu, v'ani adayin kayam. Many kings have passed from this world, and I am still alive. According to this Chazal, he lived for hundreds of years. V'chein echad v'yashem.
He lived to Yechezkel, that you know.
V'chein echad v'yashem mimalchei beis David. There were 21 kings already from the Malchus of David that died. V'echad v'eshvan, 21 kings, Mimalchei Yisrael, v'chamishim neviim, 50 neviim, v'asara koyhanim gedolim, kavarti kulam v'ani chai. Wow, look at that. 21 kings from David, 21 kings from the Malchus of Yisrael, 50 Nevi'im, yeah, that's what it's saying, 50 Nevi'im, 10 Koyhanim Gedolim, all died, and I'm still alive. So therefore, I'm a God, I'm entitled to do this. Hare Keloni, Uchamoshe Nemar, Ani Moshe, Elokim Yashavti, B'lev Yamim, Amal Yecheskel, V'hare Amdu Gedolim, M'chov L'yosu Kim Asecha. But there were people that were greater than you and were not as arrogant as you. Why do you do this? Even though and then the Medrash concludes, le'eved sha'aso levush la'adoyne kol zman sh'ya levush la'adoyne he'eved roye v'hoye miskoya ani asisi es ha'levush la'adoyne compared to he made the Beis HaMikdash. If a servant, he makes for the king the royal garments, whenever he sees in the news the king is wearing the royal garments, he's gaiva. I made it. We had a report about Obama. You know, Obama, he wore the same tuxedo for 8 years. Every event that he went, black tie event, he wore a tuxedo. It was the same exact tuxedo. His wife, Michelle, says, I wore during those 8 years hundreds of different outfits. Hundreds. And different shoes. And he got to wear the same tuxedo in 8 years. Pretty didn't gain any weight. It's pretty good, right? He didn't gain any weight in 8 years. The same tuxedo.
Was she
jealous? She said it's not fair. It's not fair that the men get to wear the same clothing and a woman should wear the same dress twice. Public figure, and right away they ridicule you. So, the one who designed this tuxedo, whoever tailored that tuxedo must have been very proud. Every time he sees the President of the United States in any function for 8 years, it's my tuxedo. It's gaiva. So therefore, Chiram says, I built the Beis HaMikdash. So as long as the Beis HaMikdash is in existence, I feel my that gaiva. That's the point of it. So when the master says, oh my, this servant, he's full of gaiva because he tailored my tuxedo, I'll destroy the tuxedo and he'll no longer have gaiva. Omar Ha'odoin, Ani Kore Halavush, Veloya Eben Miskoyalai. Kachiram, Hoy is a very important medrash. Kachiram, Hoy Miskoya Al Yidei Shesholach Aroz Lubez HaMikdash. The gaiva of Chiram was derived from the fact that he was a partner with David and Shlomo in building the Beis HaMikdash. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hareini Machariv'es Beisi, I'm going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, Shlo Yech Chiram Miskoh Olai, he's no longer the arrogant that he was the one who built this Beis HaMikdash. And Emar, Pesach Levonim Delosecha Delovon, open your doors. V'soich Aleish V'arazecha, Umaho Yosefai, okay, what was the end of Chiram? So this is very, very gruesome. But it's very graphic what it says over here. Hevi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Olav Nebuchadnezzar Boal Es Imoy Bifanof. Nebuchadnezzar came and grabbed hold of Chiram, and he grabbed hold of Chiram's mother, which means Chiram's mother also lived for 500 years. She also lived for 500 years. And he was Boal, he had relations with his mother in the presence of her son. V'hayridoi Mikisoy, he took him off his throne, and every single day for lunch, they brought in Chiram, and they cut off from his flesh 2 fingers worth of flesh. This was the lunch for Nebuchadnezzar. Every day for lunch, they cut a little piece of meat out of his body. And he dipped the flesh in vinegar until he died in Misa Mishune. And what happened to those 7 heavens? He made those 7 magnificent heavens, glass, barzel, hulu v'chulu, manase bohem, kora HaKadosh Baruch Hu es ha'aretz. Hashem made an earthquake, and Hashem buried them in the ground, u'ginozom latzadikim le'osilovo. They have yet to be restored. And this magnificent thing that he has created will one day be restored and be given to the tzadikim when Mashiach comes. Okay, so this is really fascinating stuff about Chiram. His life and his death, his longevity, his mother, Nebuchadnezzar, his arrogance, how we compare him to Avram Avinu, and what Yechezkel did to him. Yeah.
What?
Where was that Medrash? Yalkut Shmoyni. Yalkashmoyim. All right.